more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. There's been a lot of talk about the role Milwaukee may have in pioneering worldwide water stewardship in the years to come. But you need to travel only up State Street to find out how one major water user in town is already taking an innovative approach. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz visited the Miller Coors plant to find out how deeply sustainability runs through the 156-year-old brewery's veins, both in terms of building employee loyalty and in its drive to evolve into a more environmentally friendly operation.
I begin with a non-scientific observation. Miller Coors may be trailblazing water conservation strategies and recycling practically everything in sight, but it appears that the blended families are not in the business of conserving employee enthusiasm. Take Kim Murata, Director Corporate Social Responsibility, describing the company's commitment to sustainability.
You have two breweries, two, you know, large companies, Miller and Coors, coming together. So if when you looked at that joint venture in 2008 and tried to figure out how do you go from Miller, who had five breweries or six breweries at the time, and Coors that had two breweries, and figure out how you're going to ship beer and change that and make Coors Light in Milwaukee or, you know, Miller Light and, you know, all the different things that you had to think about that really came in bringing two companies together. Don't forget, we're going to be sustainable in everything that we do. So that was, you know, there were obviously a lot of big projects bringing distributor networks together, bringing marketing teams together, bringing, you know, HR teams, IT, just all the infrastructure bringing two companies. We've got a lot of important things to do, but this is equally important.
This ball of energy, a former criminal defense lawyer, came on board in 2004, before the Miller Coors merger. Both founders, Murata says, shared more than European roots.
Fred Miller and coming over here from Germany and from Adolf Coors coming over from Germany, they brought with them a spirit of families that were committed to the communities where they were living and committed to their employees. And that's a culture, you know, that really was embedded for hundreds of years.
Murata describes Colorado-based Coors' 1959 introduction of the first beer-filled seamless aluminum can in almost epic terms.
Bill Coors actually invented the aluminum can. Most of the cans are made out of steel. And he would see them thrown and laying all over the ground. So he invented the aluminum can, and then he didn't patent it because he wanted to make sure that Coke and Pepsi and the rest and our competitors and the rest of the beverage industry could actually use that can. And he gave a penny for every time a Coors banquet can was returned to the brewery.
I'm here to take in what's inside the brewery, to see up close what Miller Coors calls its ever-evolving, environmentally friendly operation. But Murata points out that its sustainability practices extend across its supply chain, from the trucks that ship the beer to suppliers of brewing ingredients such as barley. Each year, Miller Coors uses more than 36 million bushels, produced by a conglomeration of 800 farmers scattered throughout Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado. Murata says all of that farming represents a lot of irrigation and tons of water.
At least 70% and probably upwards of 90% of our water footprint or our water use is within our farming and agricultural part of our supply chain. So we started about 3 years ago to reduce the amount of water that they're using on their crops. And if they could reduce their water, it would reduce our overall water footprint as well.
Hoping to lead by example, in rural Idaho, Miller Coors established a showcase barley farm that incorporates conservation methods, including precision irrigation. Murata hopes when other farmers see what happens at the model farm, they'll be inspired.
These farms have been in these families for, you know, generations and generations. And to really come in and make some changes about how you rotate your crops or what you're actually planting or what you're doing with your sprinkler system, it takes a farmer to show another farmer that this can actually be a good thing.
But within its breweries, Murata says it is Miller Coors employees who drive sustainable initiatives.
Our 8,000 employees are our best ambassadors. The reason we're a strong company and the reason we can do these things is that they all believe in it. And we want to work here because of that ethic. We actually survey our new employees and find out, were you aware of our sustainability efforts? Did it attract you to the business? And did it impact your decision? And we find that those answers are yes, yes, and yes.
Below the corporate office, Andy Moshe leads 750 of those employees. He's plant manager here in Milwaukee. I point my microphone in his general direction as Moshe rockets down State Street among the brewery buildings.
I would tell you the one thing that makes us unique as a brewery, as a plant, a manufacturing site, is that we're 76 buildings on 82 acres, over 2.5 million square feet. We've got bridges, tunnels that we're basically walking over right now under the street. And one could look at this and go, well, it's not very conducive to modern manufacturing practices. And one of the things that we like to use our history as a catalyst for being innovative. And if you can do it, we want to be first, because we realize we need to be first to as competitive as we can be with more modern plants, factories, and breweries all over the world, which we are. We're extraordinarily competitive, no matter what way you look at it. And a lot of that comes through making sure that we're at the cutting edge of any technology, especially environmental and sustainable development technology. So the things you're going to see as we walk around here are, in some cases, shared learnings and best practices we've gotten from other plants or other breweries. And in some cases, there are things that we are the first to have done. And that inspires people to then, gee, if we can put a green roof on a building in our brewery, then we ought to be able to do anything. Actually, this is kind of a cool thing. It has nothing to do with sustainability.
Okay. Moshe swings us into what was originally the Miller Horse Stables, where the annual health fair is underway.
We've got over 50 vendors here. Everything from, you can see somebody getting their blood pressure checked over there, do we have flu shots? You want to get your flu shot today? Joni, do you have a particular path you want to travel?
Yeah.
Back outside, Moshe confers with Joan Meyer. She's environmental and sustainability engineer here and is trying to keep us on schedule. We move into the shipping building. Every day, 250 semis load up and move beer out of here.
You're probably looking at about 500,000 cases of beer. All this will be changed out in 30 hours. So it's about 30 hours of production time. So about 35 to 40% of our material goes right off the conveyor onto a palletizer, onto a pallet, and into a truck trailer. That's obviously the most efficient. The balance of that goes to the floor and is waiting. It's all been made to an order. Everything we make is to a distributor order. We don't make anything for inventory. That's what our distributors, that's a service obviously they perform for us, i.e. distribution. And so everything here will be gone pretty much by tomorrow this time. So here we are with dock heaters. So
this is a local innovation, coming up with a way to heat the loading dock more efficiently. Moshe says a federal stimulus grant helped upgrade what was a big energy sucker.
We've gone to a much more efficient steam-heated system, which we have one contiguous heating system that blows air into the truck trailers. Yeah, that's what you see there.
The upgrade saves the brewery $200,000 a year in what was essentially lost heat. But Moshe says,
I think pasteurizer water reclaim is probably the boldest innovation we have right now in the facility.
In order to kill bacteria in beer, it's heated up and then cooled down. In traditional brewing, the water used in the process was dumped into the sewer. But environmental engineer Joan Meyer says those days are over at this brewery.
Taking city water, which is about 50 degrees, and we're heating up the cans. And that we used to go and take it to sewers. Okay. Now, it's coming into this sump right here, getting reclaimed, and it's going through and it's getting chilled, and then putting it back into the pasteurizer.
Along the way, Andy Moshe points out other innovations, from more efficient lighting to a state-of-the-art packing area in which an intricate computerized machine builds cardboard cartons around bottles of beer. Dizzying examples of energy and material savings. Winding our way down a staircase, we come upon a bigger-than-life photograph of a long-ago Miller line worker. Other memorabilia adorns the area. Plant manager Andy Moshe believes it's important to display that history.
This isn't just any other plant. We need to make it feel special for employees when they come into the facility, to remind them of the folks that have come before them, and also to remind them of the legacy that they need to make sure that we carry on. And we know that we compete every hour, every shift, every day, every week, year, for our future in this brewery. And so with that comes a whole set of obligations around performance, one of those being environmentally sound and safe. So serious part of our business. You got your flu shot?
Moshe greets an employee by name. That happened through every corner of the plant we covered.
Take it easy, Sarah.
Moshe knows each and every one of his 750 employees. And while it might seem like a small detail, Moshe believes those connections may be one of the Milwaukee plant's less measurable elements of sustainability. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Susan Bentz is WUWM's environmental reporter and brought us that report on sustainability efforts at Miller Coors. One last break, and then we'll speak with the author of one of the latest sensations in young adult fantasy fiction. Christopher Paolini comes to Milwaukee this weekend in support of the last book of his Inheritance Cycle. We'll speak with him next on Like Effect.